Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. I'm Stephen Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we'll be talking about Valley Performing Arts' production of Cotton Patch Gospel.
And to talk about it, our guests today are Henry Woodall, the director, and Todd Brosty, who is playing the part of Matthew. Welcome to Stage Talk, Henry and Todd.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I think the first question we always ask is, because many of our listeners won't know anything about it, is what's this play about?
It is a retelling of the greatest story told, is how the authors have put it. So it's a telling of the gospel. Starts off with the birth narrative of Jesus Christ and takes his life all the way through. The difference is it's set in rural Georgia. So instead of being born in Bethlehem, Jesus is born into Gainesville, raised in Valdosta, and eventually takes his students to Atlanta. But it follows the gospel narrative. If you know the gospel story, you're not going to have any trouble following this play.
Interesting. And it's also a musical, as I know. So tell us something about the music.
Well, the music was written by Harry Chapin. It's one of the last projects that he worked on. And so it definitely has a bluegrass folk feel to it. There's all kinds of music. There's some real foot stomping barn dance kind of stuff. And then there's some slow, melodic, kind of sad songs. You'll laugh and you'll cry at the music, but you'll leave singing one of them. You really will be humming along with this one.
That's good. And what part do you play?
I actually play Matthew, who basically kind of narrates and carries the audience through the story. It's fun because I get to actually interact pretty much one-on-one with the audience to bring them along, which makes it a lot of fun.
And Todd, this play, as I recall, was originally written as a one-man show with a band behind him. It's been expanded now to more actors, more characters in the show. Are you playing essentially that narrator that the one man had played before, or has that been spread out among all the different parts?
The part that I play for Matthew was that narrator. We've added in where Tom Key actually did, he would shift himself over literally and start playing Jesus after he had actually given the narration as Matthew. We have Jesus, we have, our background characters, we have Pilate, we have, Joe and Mary, his parents. So, we actually have a really good ensemble cast of people to do this with, so it's a lot of fun.
So who's the lucky person who gets to play Jesus?
A young gentleman by the name of Daniel Carrick. How old is Daniel?
He'd be all of 21, 22 maybe.
Young Joe. And he's doing a real good job of it.
Good for him.
one thing you mentioned a moment ago, Henry, the director here, is that this takes place in Georgia, which is a different twist on this. But, of course, the Southeast U.S. is a hotbed for this type of music and the story that you're telling. What have you done to try to bring the American South to Alaska?
Well, the staging is in a barn, so as you come into the area, you'll see the backdrop of natural wood and hay and a wagon wheel and stuff like that. So we do that, but really, it's the music and the language. The source material for all this came from a book by the name of The Cotton Patch Gospels by Clarence Jordan, who is the second most famous peanut farmer of Sumter County. The first being Jimmy Carter. And so he wrote it in Southern dialect and with the places, and it's definitely a paraphrase. He was a New Testament scholar, PhD level scholar, but he wrote it in Southern dialect.
Interesting. Interesting. I think I've actually seen this play. This is all sounding very familiar to me, but I don't remember where or when.
It's been around for 30 years because it was given birth in the early 80s and has been a fairly good staple in community theater ever since.
And was this a show that that Tom and Russell collaborated with Harry Chapin while he was alive, or is it something they put together after he had passed away?
He was able to finish it. I'm not certain if he ever actually saw it performed off-Broadway. It was right in this same – it was during that year. And one of the main music collaborators after Harry Chapin's death was Tom Chapin, and he arranged most of the music that is now being used by community theaters, his brother, Harry Chapin's brother, Tom Chapin.
Interesting. And this is all hillbilly music? Or
It's bluegrass.
Bluegrass,
and I use the term folk, but it's, yeah, it's driven by banjo and guitar and fiddle and upright bass.
And Steve Martin is coming in to do a guest appearance, apparently, I understand. Is that right?
That would be wonderful. Unfortunately, not.
But this is that same sort of music from North Carolina, from South Carolina,
that's
from
right.
Georgia, that upper state area.
Yep, very much so.
And those people who might know Harry Chapin and also his brother Tom, who has had a very successful career, will know this type of music as
yes,
well.
Yes, very much so. Very very much in line with it, in that the lyrics are excellent. And like I said, it's a wide variety of music. There's you're gonna clap and stomp during some of these songs. You're gonna cry during a couple of them, and you'll just laugh because it's got a good dose of humor, in the lyrics and in the play itself.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Henry Woodall, who's the director, and Todd Brosty, who plays a central character in Valley Performing Arts production of Cotton Patch Gospel. How do you find your character? Are you really telling the story, or are you just part of the story?
Actually, it's a lot of fun because I literally do, for most of the time when I actually speak, I'm directed at the audience. I'm actually talking to them, and I literally kind of step aside and let, you know, the rest of the players do the scenes, the little vignettes that kind of come in between. But for the most part, I'm part of the audience, kind of helping them through the story, which is, it makes it a lot of fun. I get to do a lot more where in a lot of theater you're not supposed to, you know, acknowledge that the audience is there. Me, I get to actually bring them into it, and you know, and as much as I can involve them in it. So,
Todd, do you play an instrument in the show, or do you have a separate band that plays behind the actors?
We have a band. I can sing, but don't ask me to play an instrument. it would not be pretty. No, we have a really good, talented group of people being our band behind. We have guitar. We have two guitars. We have banjo. We have fiddle, and we have upright bass, and they do a really good job.
And they also play characters and are on stage the entire time. So they're not as much standing behind as standing in the midst.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's nice to have that sort of presentation of a show with the band on the stage, the actors on the stage, changing characters and so forth. Henry, you mentioned a moment ago that this takes place with a Southern dialect, and I hear a twinge of that from you, but not so much with Todd over here. How are we managing that Southern dialect with the Anchorage actors?
Well, that's one of the questions that several folks asked me as we approached this material. And I said, it's fine to give it a go and do that, but not so much that it would detract from the material. And so some folks have done more of it than others. It's pretty natural for me. I grew up in North Carolina and Tennessee. So close to the Appalachian Mountains. But folks are doing a pretty good job of widening out a vowel here and there and slurring the right stuff.
I could come sort of into character just a little bit when I try. So.
That sounds pretty good.
That's not bad.
It gets you into character, I bet, when you get into that accent.
Oh, yes.
It?
That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's always a challenge when doing a play with that require some sort of a dialect, and it's very good for the actors at a place like UAA. But I think if you force the actors to do that, you ruin the play.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've tried to do, is hit a balance there.
You know, Henry, we started out by talking about this play being a retelling of the greatest story ever told, and that story has a bit of a sad ending, although an uplifting ending at the same time. How is that portrayed, or should you even talk about that without giving away any surprises in your production?
It's been interesting that you mention that because many people have asked us about that. Even a young woman I was speaking with yesterday said, "Oh, are you going to have that scene? Are you going to kill Jesus?" And my response to that is, "Yeah, it's an important part of the story." But it's acted out in a dramatic fashion. It's not a gritty or a grisly scene by any means. It's very symbolic. Actually, Matthew really takes care of that scene. It will be a moment of silence in the theater, but it's not it's not bloody in any sense, or it's not carried out except as an integral part of the story. And yeah, it is good news of the gospel. So we do have a resurrection scene, and it ends on a high note.
I was just going to say, I presume there's a resurrection.
There is.
Ultimately, it's a good ending.
That's right.
You know, this is one of those shows that's kind of in line with Godspell, a retelling of the story in a different way than we normally see around this time of year. And what kind of reaction have you had from the audience yet, but just the people in Wasilla to this presentation of the show?
I've shared it with some friends, and we've had folks wandering in and out of rehearsal, and they go out tapping their feet. They go out saying, mm-hmm. "Boy, I like the music." And then there's audible laughs at some of the lines, because, again, with the change in the language, so instead of "you shall not live by bread alone," for instance, "you shall not live by," and there's a pause, "grits alone."
Well, that seems sensible.
Right.
I'm from the South myself, and I love grits.
So do I, and I'm not from the South.
Do you serve grits with the audience?
Well, we're thinking about on opening night, I've got to have a pan of grits there. I think we will.
I'll skip that one.
Nice sound over there. You don't like grits?
I've never been at grits. The first time I ever had grits, I thought it was cream of wheat, and was horribly, badly surprised when it wasn't. So, yeah.
Well, I like corn in any form, so.
Well, Henry, you have to educate your actors here about what the South is really about.
We actually have in the program, we have a little cotton patch definitions. And so we talk about grits and Valdosta and wooey, which is an important word in the play, and some things like that. Just
wooey?
Help them out.
Wooey is an important word.
Yes, ma'am. It becomes an all-purpose exclamation of joy and jubilation.
Well, that's interesting because
wooey. It's said wooey. It's more like it.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I grew up saying wooey, but it went out of fashion years ago from the North.
We're bringing it back.
And I can tell that Henry is from the South. A moment ago, he said, "Yes, ma'am." You can always tell that.
Yes, I've often noticed that. Well, one more question. How do you think you're... show is going to sell?
We're very hopeful. We think it'll gain some ground after this first weekend. The first weekend's right after Thanksgiving, and so I'm sure folks are looking for good things to do, but it's also kind of a hard time to get people out and about. We've got another 4 weekends after that. We go all the way to December the 23rd.
Good for you.
A good alternative to Black Friday shopping.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you're going Black Friday shopping and then you want to relax, you come and see your show.
Come to the play.
Or come get a foot stomping good time.
There you go.
And just relax.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Unfortunately, we're about to run out of time. Thank you very much for coming. It's a long drive, and we appreciate it. Henry Woodall and Todd Brosty. And thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org.
At Cyrano's, Bruckner's Last Finale, a new play by Dick Reichman, runs through December 2nd. I recommend this beautiful play. It's fascinating. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
UAA Department of Theater's presentation of Monty Python's Spamalot runs through December the 9th. Performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3. For tickets and information, call 786-4849.
Anchorage Community Theater's production of My Three Angels opens tonight and runs through December 23rd, with performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 7 and Sundays at 3. Tickets are available at actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
The Academy of Fine Arts in Eagle River will present their Christmas show, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, beginning tomorrow. Showtimes are 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, with a matinee at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December the 8th and December the 15th. For tickets and information, call 694-8909 or go to alaskafinearts.org.
Up in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts presents Cotton Patch Gospel through December 23rd. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Stephen Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.